is the real that is crying out for us. I left here this morning, was headed home, and I got a text from my wife that said, look up this song, it's called Unstoppable Love. And His love for us is so real and so fervent. And so alive and so powerful that He will wage war so that He can love you. And He's waged war on our behalf. That war that led Him right into the camp of the enemy. That He could take back what He loves so dearly, and it's us. I don't know how far I'll get into this, but 1 Peter chapter 1. This Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect sojourners of the dispersion. The King James, I believe it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners of the dispersion, and goes on, and then it puts the word elect down there in verse 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But when you study this out and look at this, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect sojourners of the dispersion, meaning to those of you, to those of the believers that were in Jerusalem that had been scattered because of persecution, those that have been taken captive or being, that are in other lands that are foreign, that are going through the trials, that are going through all the things. And I think about it, and I know many of us in here, you feel like you're dispersed. We feel like we've been scattered, and I think about this, and this is Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect sojourners of the dispersion. Meaning, God chose them to go through that dispersion. It was for His purposes. He did it. He did it in His love. He chose them that they would sojourn in that dispersion, that they would be led off to Pontus and to Galatia and Cappadocia of Asia and Bithynia. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, in the purity of the Spirit, He chose them in the purity of the Spirit to be sojourners, to be taken alien into other lands that they didn't belong into. He chose them by the purity of His Spirit that He might bring them into a place of obedience and the place of sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I gotta wonder if they're like us every time we're going through a circumstance in their life, in our life, if they weren't crying out, oh God help me, oh God do this, oh God make them stop. Instead of just falling on their faces and just saying, oh God, here I am. He brought them into that place of out of their comfort zone, out of their land. He brought them into that place that He would bring them to a place of obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Him and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Peter speaks out, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Well, grace and peace be multiplied to you in your dispersion. If you're feeling a little out there in your life right now, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Because you're going through it for a reason. Because that unstoppable love of God has chosen you to go through it right now, that He would bring you into a place of obedience. That He would bring you into that place of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That we would all come into that place of seeing Him as God and knowing that in that covenant, and that's what every time we look at this table, the very foundation of everything that I am in Christ Jesus is based on what's represented at this table. The reason I know that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, all of that is rooted in the covenant that is by His blood represented by this cup. And in that covenant, He protects me, and He provides for me, and He is my identity. It's in that covenant. It's not in the blessing that He spoke or anything else. It all starts with that covenant. And nothing will stop Him from fulfilling that covenant. Nothing has stopped Him. Nothing will stop Him in it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, according to His great mercy, having regenerated us, having us born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you. For you, the ones in the power of God, being guarded through the faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It is a salvation that is ready to be revealed, not just at the end of your life. It is a salvation that is ready to be revealed right now in your life. Right now in my life. Saving me from my emotions, saving me from my thoughts, saving me from all of these things that just put me on my head and spin me around. Saving me from everything that's coming at me, saving me from darkness, saving me from all the schemes and assignments of the enemy that's warring against heaven for my soul and for your soul. There's a war that's taking place for our souls. And there's an unstoppable love for your soul. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you. You, the ones in the power of God, being guarded through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In which you exult, in which you rejoice, yet a little while, if need be, grieving in manifold trials. Grieving in manifold trials so that the proving of your faith, which is much more precious than perishing gold, but having been proved through fire, that fire is that dispersion. That fire is your circumstances that are around you right now that you're screaming out, oh God, help me. Oh God, make it stop. Having been proved through fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom not yet seeing, but believing, you exult, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, and being glorified, obtaining the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. About which salvation the prophets sought out and searched out, prophesying concerning the grace for you, searching for what and what sort of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand of the sufferings belonging to Christ and the glories after these. This salvation that we take so lightly, the prophets of old, they sought it out, they searched it out, Jeremiah wept and lamented for because he was seeing the salvation of his people. This same salvation that Isaiah would weep and know that he would see that the Savior, that he saw that the Messiah was to be beaten beyond recognition as a man. But he knew the purpose in him because of the Spirit of God that had stirred him up, that it was for a purpose, that it was our sins, that it was our punishment that he was taking. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, you name any one of the prophets, they were seeking out and they searched out and they were prophesying, speaking concerning the grace that they were seeing, although they were seeing this in different ways and in different parts throughout history. They were prophesying and speaking concerning the grace for you and searching for what and what sort of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them. In the same way that I have a hope that God wants to do a work in this body and that it will be fulfilled in this community and that God will be glorified through our lives, through our unity, through everything that we would do here, in the same way that I have that hope and I keep searching for it, even though there's times I can't see it, I can't feel it, I don't hear it, I don't smell it, I don't taste it. But something in me says, this will be fulfilled. In that same heart, the prophet searched that out. And they knew that there was something they were searching out. Searching for what? And they knew that there was a time that the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand the sufferings belonging to Christ and the glories after these, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they ministered the same things, which now were announced and are announced to you by those having preached the gospel to you in the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things angels long to look into. Whew. This is the salvation that we so often take for granted and we take so lightly. Yet the prophets that lived hundreds of years before that knew in their heart that they weren't going to experience still chose to speak it out because they knew the grace of God and they knew the hope of it for the generations to come. It wasn't a selfish thing knowing in and of themselves but the time of the Messiah and the promises weren't for them, but they still by faith spoke those things out as though they were, that we might lay hold of them. Those things were written and spoken and all of those things recorded so that we would read them and see them manifest in Christ and know that He is our salvation. Yet we take this same salvation that they poured their lives into and they wept and they lamented over. We take this same salvation and we treat it so lightly. And we wonder why we feel dispersed. Into which things angels long to look into. Because of this, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober, perfectly hope unto grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience. Boy, that word keeps jumping out. It always comes back to obedience, doesn't it? As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves to your former lusts in your ignorance, but according to the Holy One who has called you, you also become holy in all conduct. Because it has been written, be holy because I am holy. And if you call on the Father, the one judging according to the work of each one, without respect of faces, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that not with corruptible things, not with silver or gold were you redeemed from your worthless way of life, handed down from your fathers. You weren't bought with silver and gold to redeem you from the curses and the generational curses that have run down because of the bloodline. You weren't redeemed from the character and nature of this flesh with silver and gold, but with precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Indeed, having been foreknown before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the last times because of you. To some, maybe we're struggling in sin. Maybe we've struggled with the obedience. And maybe this broken bread that represents his body. For some here this morning, maybe it's that appeal at the altar that was for our sins. Maybe it was the blood that was poured out. Maybe it was the body that was beaten that took the punishment for our sins. Maybe you just need to be reassured in that this morning. Then in that, bless it and give thanks for that and recognize it in your life again. Maybe for some this morning, it's recognizing that it was the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot that was sacrificed on the threshold of the Spirit, which is the cross. That we would come where He is, that we would step out of this fleshly life and enter into that which is the Spirit. And it's a threshold offering. It was an offering of great price. Because He has an unstoppable love for you, He sent what He valued the most for you, that you could come where He was, that you could escape this physical life and the soul and the problems that we continue to get wrapped up in, that we could escape it and see things in the Spirit, which is the reality of all of it. Maybe it's a threshold offering that you can come where He is, and we recognize that it is that blood and it is that body that was sacrificed, that we could step out of the physical and into the things of the Spirit. And that we would come as friends, as honored guests, so honored that the sacrifice was of the ultimate value, His Son. Maybe that's you this morning. If that be the case, then give thanks and bless it. Don't take it lightly. Partake of that covenant meal, because He didn't just offer you to come across the threshold just to hide out. You're invited in, and what's promised is the greatest of protection. What is promised is the greatest of provision. What is honest, what is offered is the greatest in hospitality. What is honored, what is offered is that you be honored as a child of God. It's that place of crossing out of slaveship and into sonship. It's into that place of stepping into the things of the Spirit, knowing I'm a child of the living God. Because of the broken body, because of the spilled blood on my behalf. And I do not trample underfoot your blood, Lord Jesus. But I honor it, knowing that it is of the greatest value, more precious than silver and gold. Yeah. Sure.
I'm really nervous tonight. But what I saw during the service was this. I saw myself sitting there and pouring the blood. This does represent blood. It's blood. I saw it pour on the ground. I saw this act. What would happen if I did that? Amen? I want you to see it. If I sat there and did it, I'm not going to pour it on the carpet.
Splatter all over your foot.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what the answer, right? The next time I sit there and want a cup, and I sit there and want to sit there and go to the altar, and I want to partake of covenant, I can choose to look at what's on my pant leg, the pain it's probably caused me, and sitting there stomping on it, and the offense that's caused. Or I can choose to look again at myself.
Truth is, we've all trampled on that blood. But there's an unstoppable love for us that continues to pour out. That we might come back in again. Knowing not that with corruptible things, silver or gold were you redeemed from your worthless way of life, handed down from your fathers. Redeemed. Bought with a price. This is that time of self-reflection. This isn't with condemnation at all. It's to recognize, I guess it just keeps coming to the forefront of my mind, is that it's an unstoppable love. It only stops if you let it. If we get caught up in the condemnation, if we get caught up in all of the things, if we get caught up in the circumstance, if we get caught up in the dispersion, you know, if we lose sight of the hope, yet His grace is sufficient and He continues to call out. Knowing that not with corruptible things, silver or gold, will you redeemed from your worthless way of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Indeed, having been foreknown before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the last time because of you. The ones believing in God through Him. He raising Him from the dead and giving glory to Him so that your faith and hope may be in God. Having purified your souls in the obedience of the truth through the Spirit to unpretended brotherly love, love one another fervently out of a pure heart. Being regenerated and being born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the living Word of God and remaining forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is the flower of grass. The grass was dried and its flower fell out, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the Word announced as gospel to you. Taylor, you want to come up and play? Absolutely.
But it's incorruptible, uncorruptible. There is nothing we can do to take the power from that blood, from that sacrifice. It's a covenant. And a covenant is not a contract. It's not affected by our behavior. God put this covenant in place because He so loved us that even in walking through the blood, which in the first old covenant was a sign of enemy, you didn't accept displaced us. Seated with Christ, they're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It doesn't remove that. There is such help in what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And continues to do day by day, seated at the right hand of the Father. It is incorruptible. It's not silver and gold. It's not sanctified by us. This is His covenant by His choice, because He first loved us.
I didn't know how this morning was going to go. I felt like I believe that there are some right now that have just been caught up in a sin and just, I don't know. Just in a place where you don't feel worthy, in a place where you realize you've stepped in the blood, so to speak. You've just been caught up in all the stuff. If that's you this morning, if you just need to recognize that He died for your sin, then I ask you to come and partake this morning. Take a piece of this bread that represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. The bread that makes us all one body. And take one of these cups, which represents the blood. And in that blood, a new covenant was established, a covenant of grace. And maybe you need to just take it to the altar, or maybe you just need to let God deal with you on that sin, whatever it may be. And you're welcome. You are welcome to come anytime. I am just going to keep going here. But there was something else, as we've all been the last several weeks, and God is really having us focus on just being the body. And the unity that's in the body, and blessing and not cursing, and just laying hold of Christ. And I read through some portions of scripture this morning and just read through Ezekiel 37, which is shared during worship. I kept seeing it. He is everything that we are, the dry bones, and He is everything that connects us together. He is everything that He's everything that restores, and He's everything that gives life. So I just want to give an example of things that I was seeing this morning. I read through Ephesians chapter 4. As I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Steve, will you come up here for a minute. Stand by that table right there for just a second. And you may partake of this more than once today. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. It describes the body. Joel, stay up here for a minute. Will you, stand over here? Come here. Stand right next to Granny. Go on, get up there. Watch this. This is the body. This is the only time that the body's the body. Jesse, get up here. Just look at the table. This is the only time that the body is the body is when we will all gather around the sacrifice that was for our sins. This is the only time that the body becomes the body and begins to move in unity is when we keep our eyes on this right here. Bellam, come on. It's okay. Squeeze in here because there's room for all of us to set our eyes upon this and to partake of this, that we would be one body. It's the only way that the unity, it's the only way that the blessing begins to flow. It's the only way that Christ is glorified is when we keep our eyes on this. This is the one body. This is the Spirit of God. Everything that we have been called to is represented at this table. Don?
That's like what the attitude verses. Are they a new hunger and thirst after righteousness when they should be filled? We're ruled by appetites and our money. But when we step in with Jesus, it is fullness. It is complete. It is everything we'll ever long for.
Yeah. I could. Where's that? Yeah, the worthless way of life handed down from your father. Some that are gathered at the table and you may partake, pray, and as you're led. And then there are times when God calls us to just serve. And God calls us to go to our friend or our loved one and remind them that by the blood of Jesus Christ, His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you, brother. Thank you. I'm on a mission. Doug,
you're my brother in Christ Jesus. I love you. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. Did it for you. He has unstoppable love for you. Okay? Lay hold of that hope. Don't let anything else hinder. Don't let anything else stop it. There's an unstoppable love. So unstoppable that He died for you. He stormed the gates of hell. He holds the keys to death and life because His love for you was unstoppable. No plan, no attack, no scheme of the enemy, no plan of man could hinder it. He died because God the Father called Him to die on our behalf. Out of an unstoppable love for you.
Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, now I need you.
You can continue to partake communion. You can serve one on. You can serve one another. You can be led of God this morning. And I don't believe there's any way of worshiping God greater than to just recognize that sacrifice, recognize the sacraments. Together and serve one another communion because Christ is the anchor of your marriage. Make Him the center of it this morning.
Where sin runs deep, Your grace is more. The grace is found. It's where you are, where you are. Lord, I'm free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are. Lord, I'm cannot stand, I fall on.